Okay, morning everyone. In connection with my words this morning on continuing the idea of duties and obligations of the present day believer, I'd like to read John chapter 15, the first 16 verses. John 15, 1 through 16. Where Christ says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bring forth or that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, previously, we have talked about our duties and obligations being good habits, pleasing to our Heavenly Father, resulting from our love and faith implemented in every aspect of our lives. And mostly, we've discussed these relative to the individual. But as the saying goes, no man is an island. We're all stuck with each other through the blood of the covenant. And that has some bearing on what God finds pleasing in us. There is an acronym that has often been used to teach a godly perspective and humility, and it's the word joy. J-O-Y. Being Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. Now, in and of itself, this is fine, but it's something of an oversimplification. If we are in Christ, immersing our lives in him in many ways and aspects, we will be one with him, which we should be. Christ says in John 17, 20-23. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. However, there are others also doing the same thing around us, you know, individually, which at any one moment in time may place them in the same position, perhaps even momentarily better, so to speak, than ourselves individually. And then the next choice is theirs and ours could totally change the picture. But we are all related and interconnected in Christ. As in our reading in John 15, where Christ says, I am the vine. And in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Now while vines, including grapevines, are not thought of as self-supportive, they can bush up, the branches intertwining to support each other and develop into a fairly large freestanding mass. It will be something of a tangled mess, but it will survive and even thrive for quite a long time and produce fruit and shelter for birds and animals. Let's look in the book of Judges. This idea of protection. Judges chapter 9. Verses 14 and 15. Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And then let's look in Psalm 104, verse 12. Psalm 104, verse 12. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. In Hosea chapter 14, Hosea 14, 6 and 7. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. they shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. So the idea of dwelling safely under the shadow. Of course, that was also used in Daniel of all the beasts and fowls figuratively dwelling under the shadow of the king of Babylon. But let's turn to Micah. Micah chapter 4, verse 4. In the prophecy of the kingdom age. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. And then finally in Psalm 36, verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. So we have the idea of the trust under the shadow, the covering. But back to the idea of the vine growing up and producing whatever. So our own efforts individually, in turn, help to support our fellow believers. Now if we allow ourselves to weaken and or fail, we are letting other believers down and letting Christ down. And I mean, we all make mistakes. Let's look at Matthew 24, verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Now alone, individually, we may not be much, or always individually understand everything that's going on. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 15. Ezekiel 15, let's read verses 2 through 4. Where God says, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree? Or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work? Or will men take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereon? Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel. The fire devoureth both the ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. Is it meat for any work? So like our own small strength individually, the grapevine branches are very weak. But together, our different individual strengths can help hold up each other. If we work on ourselves to grow in grace and truth and allow ourselves to be borne up by others' strengths. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And again in verse 12, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So the things we've talked about previously, about doing for God, are also for the helping of our fellow brethren, who we are inextricably linked to through Christ. And this is another reason to examine ourselves, scrutinizing ourselves for failings and weaknesses. We are all born with the flesh, fleshly tendencies. Geneticists have found certain genetic markers that predispose a person to certain tendencies, alcoholism, for example, and there are several of them. We must face ourselves, assessing our weaknesses and avoiding as much as possible the triggers of our failings while praying for and working to develop the strength to deal with temptations, for they will come up in this life. And everyone is different, tempted by different things. Let's look at Romans chapter 14. Let's read verses 19 through 22. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And I think we can see from verse 21 that we can extend this principle beyond the partaking of worldly produce. Just as we may harm ourselves, we may harm others through our example. You know, many of the Jews, just the common Jews of Christ's time, followed their leaders' examples of looking for a glorious Messiah of Jewish righteousness and victorious pride, and succumb to the attitude of self-righteous pride so repulsive to God. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Second Corinthians 13, verses 5 through 7. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. And I would say that you're doing that to yourself. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. In other words, we don't do righteousness for outward show, but for strengthening the inner man, our own and our brethren. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Now we always struggle with our own flesh because the flesh always strives to come out in manifestations of pride, impatience, arrogance, or apathy, laxity, liberalism, etc. So by rooting out any hint of evil, we can prevent sin from getting its foot in the door, so to speak, of our own heart and those around us. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Philippians 2:15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And then again in Hebrews 12, Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, being adopted into God's family through Christ, we are part of a different culture, a different lifestyle, economy, and ecology from those outside. Hebrews 11, 15 and 16. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now, maintaining our part in that culture requires immersing ourselves in it in any and every way and opportunity possible. We've talked about some of these ways already, but God has blessed us with a number of ways to do that. Familiarizing ourselves with his word. We have been blessed with the ecclesia. And just as the law of Moses itself was holy, just, and good, as Paul wrote, so too is the ecclesia in and of itself, as God gave it, a good tool. It is a means to an end. Of course, just like everything else, in the hands of man, at times it may get misused for whatever reason. And think about it. You can buy the best name brand hammer and smash your thumb just as badly as with a cheap Harbor Freight special. But when used correctly, tools are an immense help. Back to the idea of the grapevine branches supporting each other in absence of an outside support. This is accomplished through proximity and interaction. And these are not always intentional. If we are trying to draw nigh unto God, as we are exhorted, we individually will collectively be moving in the same direction. Just as plants all try to grow up toward the sunlight. The burden of our flesh weighs us down, bending us over and away from our goal, just as the weight of the leaves and the branches themselves on a grapevine will cause them to droop. But the more we all lean on each other and connect with each other, the more we can grow upward toward God. It's an interesting fact, and very relative to what we're talking about, that grapevines do not smother a host plant, such as a tree. And therefore, although the individual branches of the grapevine are competing for the sunlight, as we can say, we are looking for God's grace and love, they will not smother each other out, allowing the vine to bush up more than other more parasitic vines. So we draw strength and help from each other by coming together at ecclesial events, reaching out to each other, just as the branches of the grapevine. And this is an active effort, sometimes, however small, that helps us and others to be much stronger than possible individually. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 12 and 13. For as the body is one and hath many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And in the same chapter, verses 24 and 25. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And then again in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now, of course, God also gave us the more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, as Peter wrote. The fulfillment of prophecy is an ongoing progression left to us to help us that requires our application of our spiritual knowledge. As we see events unfolding, we can share these to strengthen each other and ourselves. This takes something of an active involvement and an effort on our parts. All of our efforts in our walk in the truth are work in the Lord's vineyard. As such, our individual actions can and do have effects on others. Of course, within, as we've really been discussing, and also without our own ecclesia and the brotherhood at large. While we may never, and in some instances can never, come in contact with some of the other branches of the Christ vine, they are part of the same vine. So we need to really think to ensure that our actions will be supportive of everyone who might be affected, to encourage the proper spiritual development. And so I would like to close by reading Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 9. Philippians 4, 5 through 9. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you.